So lots of anniversaries today. 14th anniversary of Steve Peterson getting fired as the athletic director at Nebraska. It is the 12th anniversary of the Balloon Boy incident, where we all watched on television as the parents of the six-year-old, who at the time I thought this was more of a hoax, that the kid was named Falcon. Who names their kid Falcon?
Wouldn't be my first choice.
I mean, I know you kind of want to be unique, but or maybe it's appropriate that their kid was named Falcon. He was the little six-year-old that was carried away in that large UFO-like balloon, thousands of feet in the air in Colorado. And then it crashed, and they looked inside, and there was nothing but a lot of hot air. And the parents pled guilty to a few crimes. They actually were pardoned, Josh. Did you know that? Last year, they were pardoned by the governor of Colorado.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Not sure. Because the dad was convicted of a felony.
Yeah.
And so now
he probably should have been.
Yeah. But they still claim their innocence. You know, they pled guilty in 2009. But I think the dad said that he only pled guilty to avoid worse punishment. And then mom, who was not a U.S. citizen, thought she would be deported.
Okay. I guess, ultimately, there wasn't a child in that balloon to harm. You could make the no harm, no foul case.
The famous line, I said Wolf Blitzer, is actually Larry King. Asked why he was hiding, the six-year-old said, "You guys said that we did this for the show."
That's right.
Man, his father chimed in, "No," his mother said. No. Did you know that the family featured twice on the reality TV series Wife Swap? They were accused of planning the stunt to garner fame.
I remember them trying to get a TV deal out of it.
Dad said, of course, after he got news that the governor of Colorado had pardoned him, said, "I'm flying high."
Oh, come on, buddy.
Really, come on.
All right.
There has to be a movie that was made after this, right? One of those Hallmark specials that tugs at your heartstrings and then rips it right out from underneath of you. Tomorrow, Nebraska, Minnesota. It's a light slate in college football. In the Big Ten, the big game is Michigan State, Indiana. People keep pointing to Iowa letdown against Purdue at home at Kinnick. Purdue has won three of the last four in that series. I don't see a one-sided affair. Could be a tight game, but I'm not feeling a upset from Purdue. But you never know. Remember, Nebraska gets Purdue coming out of their bye. So the next 3 weeks and how Nebraska navigates it, I think, are pretty important. At 3-4, trying to get to 4-4, and if you say you feel real close, but then it's fair to say, but how far away? Long way away, short way away. Last month has shown us that Nebraska has held their own against three teams that are unbeaten. Michigan State, Oklahoma, Michigan. They're close, but this is a results-based business, and now it's time to put close into wins. Also, haven't been blown out in those games. It's little things around here. But what happens tomorrow, bye week, Purdue, Minnesota bye week, Purdue, is you show progress by teams that, and take out week zero, we're not going to be able to explain that, you are favored against, that you perceive to be right with you in your own division or below you, you beat. And Nebraska's taken care of those teams. And now they've got two back-to-back that fit that category. So you win those kind of games. And those kind of games have escaped Nebraska in the past. You've dropped games that you go, how'd you lose to Purdue? How'd you lose to Minnesota? You've had clunkers. Nebraska has yet to have a clunker this year. They also haven't won on the road, which is key for tomorrow. Because for this program to move forward, they not only have to protect their home field, but they have to find a way to win on the road. They're going against an opponent tomorrow that gets under the skin of the head coach of Nebraska. PJ Fleck and the brand and the way he acts and the CEO. And quite frankly, the last 2 years, Minnesota has done something to Nebraska that Nebraska did not have. They've been physical. They have been disciplined. They've been focused. The last 2 years, that hasn't been the case with Nebraska. And the result has been Minnesota has won both of those games. They hammered Nebraska 2 years ago. Then last year, somehow, some way, credit to Minnesota, they found a way to win a 7-point game. And now you have tomorrow in Minneapolis, where Minnesota is thinking, this is the time to seize our opportunity, stay within a game of Iowa, and really screw Nebraska and make Nebraska 1-4 in the league. And then you know what it's like, tension convention and trying to do the math to get to 6. It gets a little bit more difficult. The easiest math is to win 3 of the next 4 for Nebraska to be bowl eligible before you play Iowa. Now, I keep saying win 3 of 4. You pick what 3 you want. It doesn't matter. The next 5 games, Nebraska has to win at least 3 games to become bowl eligible. You can't sit in an offseason and go, man, that was a good team. There was a lot to like there. Their season was over on Black Friday. But in this game, I look through all of the numbers and the metrics and the personnel and the issues on both sides. And I know Minnesota has won 2 in a row against Nebraska, but I have a hard time finding where Minnesota is going to beat Nebraska without Nebraska once again beating themselves. I don't know how Minnesota is going to score and move the ball on Nebraska's defense. Now, this is all predicated on Nebraska is kind of the same team that they've been now for a month on both sides of the ball, that the 2.0 offense of line with Corcoran and Benhart back in it will not be as porous as it was. I mean, it's not easy replacing a guy who I think has started to hit his stride in Teddy Prochazka, who had played 101 snaps in the last 2 weeks. I think it's going to be unfortunate for Teddy that he's played 5 games. It's going to be tough to get that year back. But now you got 2 guys that are back, one at the position he was at in Corcoran. Benhart comes back into the lineup. Everybody's going to be watching him because what happens if it doesn't work out this time? Where do you turn to? The guy you turn to is out for the season. But I think Nebraska will be able to move the ball through the air on Minnesota. I think Minnesota will try and use the tactic that other teams have used, and that is to spy Adrian Martinez. I think the option will have the opportunity to break a big play. And I think Martinez, with his arm, was going to remind you of 2018, where I think that is one of his best games that he's played as a starting quarterback at Nebraska. He was 25 of 29. He threw for 276 in that contest and also ran the ball. And Nebraska put up a big number. I don't see Nebraska scoring 40, but I think a mobile quarterback will cause issues for Minnesota. And I think this is kind of the game off of last week that Adrian Martinez is comfortable and makes it look fun. And he's the reason why Nebraska wins this football game by 10. Now, why would be a reason why Nebraska doesn't win by 10 tomorrow? Is Minnesota comes out, and I fully expect this to happen. Minnesota's coming off a bye week. Fleck gets his team fired up about playing Nebraska. They don't like our slogan. We don't like them. Okay, great. They'll have new wrinkles. They've had a time to do some self-scouting, so they may look a little bit different in certain areas. They get back one of their wide receivers. They've kind of known since the Purdue game that they're not going to have Potts back, because he was in the hospital for a week after that game. So they've had a chance to work in some young guys at running back, either Irving or Wiley, who had a touchdown run against Nebraska last year when they were down 33 players on the roster due to COVID protocol. So I think they'll throw some new wrinkles at Nebraska. They've also had time to sit and look at 7 games that Nebraska has played. I bet you they've looked a lot at week 0 tape. So in the early going, I expect Minnesota to cause a little consternation for Nebraska. Really more on the offense going against Nebraska's defense before Nebraska adjusts. And then it'll be on Minnesota to adjust. But they don't throw the ball very often. They like to run the ball. They haven't had great success. I don't know how they put up points other than they get a lead and they just bleed the game in a field position game. And it's like dying due to a paper cut, and you can feel it. They're not built to do that, but that would be the way that I think that they win. I think Nebraska running between the tackles could be an issue tomorrow, but I hope they don't give up on it early. They've done a good job of sticking with the plan and not pulling the ripcord, but I think the option of the passing game will be very good for Nebraska, and I like at least a 10-point victory for Nebraska to get to 4-4 going into the bye, because there is a big difference, not just one game. There is a huge difference between being 4-4 and 3-5, and then you're staring at four games, and you got to win three of those four games, and two of them include two teams that are in the top 10. You want to make it easy on yourself. You want to have a comfortable Saturday. You want to take the emotion of your defensive coordinator losing his father and what he'll be going through during the course of a game and make it a good day. You do all of those things. There'll be a lot of emotion in this game. For Nebraska, around their defensive coordinator, Eric Chenander, Minnesota, trying to get back on track. I think it'll be a fun game. Nebraska needs another fun game. Northwestern was fun. Nebraska needs a fun game on the road against an opponent that has been a thorn in your side and has done things that you were not built to do. Be disciplined, physical. Nebraska's shown they can be physical. Can they be disciplined in a game in which it may be a field position game with whatever happens on special teams? I think Adrian Martinez has a big day tomorrow. I think Adrian Martinez leads Nebraska to a victory. 4-4 to 3-5, that's a huge gap, especially going into a bye week. Nebraska by 10. We'll talk about it on Big Red Overreaction. John Bishop and yours truly will be on. If what I just laid out here in this little good, like, 7-minute montage, if that doesn't happen, I won't be on Big Red Overreaction. But we'll have it right after the game tomorrow. Thanks to everybody that joined us on a Football Friday Fiesta and throughout the week. Busy week, good shows, great conversation, great guests. As always, our regular guests that chimed in and elevated the show. You missed anything today? Brian Munson. We got into recruiting. Gage Stenger on the flip from Kansas State to Millard South. Also, maybe a little bit of Adrian Martinez and what the portal could look like if Adrian comes back or he leaves. And I think you also have to entertain, maybe Adrian gets into the portal. I think all of those things are in play. But I believe that this is the start of the last five games of Adrian Martinez at Nebraska. Also to Brian Christofferson, to Brett Ciancia, and Dirk Chatelain. Make memories this weekend. Enjoy the weekend. If you want football tonight, high school football, we're on Cox 13. Maybe a quieter game. Creighton Prep and Papillion La Vista South will have that contest coming up at 7. Again, Big Red Overreaction after the 11 a.m. kick tomorrow. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend. If you're going to the Pumpkin Patch, you're going to see dinosaurs like Josh and the family out in Kearney. Yeah. Have fun. We'll talk to you again on Monday at 10 a.m. with another edition of the Gary Sharp Show. With Josh, I'm Gary on 1620 The Zone.